Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are on a journey. A journey of faith. We have left Egypt. We have gone through the Red Sea. We have gone past the waters of Marah. Been attacked by the Amalekites. Eaten the manna from heaven. And tasted water from the rock. We have chosen leadership. And now we are going to a very important place. Mount Sinai. Exodus 19. Verses 1 and 2. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. On that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped in front of the mountain. This is the one of the most important events in the whole journey. It was at Mount Sinai that God was going to meet with the Israelites in a very personal, powerful way and transform them from being a mixed multitude of peoples into the being the very nation of God. Prior to this time, they knew they were descended from Abraham, but they had little of national sense of nationalism. It was at Mount Sinai where they were truly formed into the nation of Israel. Because it was at Mount Sinai where they received the law of God Himself. And the law of God became their national constitution. Amen. And it was at Mount Sinai where the people were brought into a covenant, a blood covenant, as one nation before God. Exodus 19. Verses 5 and 6. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Moses met with God and received the very law of God written by the finger of God upon two tablets of stone. The people were at the base of the foot of the mountain, and they heard the words of God Himself as He thundered from the mountain. Yet they saw no visible form of God. And the people were not allowed to ascend the mountain themselves, not even to touch the mountain, only to listen to the words of God at the foot of the mountain. It was an utterly terrifying and awesome sight. As the Lord God Almighty descended in fire upon Mount Sinai and called Moses up. This is a picture of something very important in our Christian lives today. The receiving of God's law into our hearts. When a man first gets saved and baptized, he knows to a certain extent he is a child of God. He knows he should leave his life of sin. But often the revelation of that he is a new nation, a new citizenship is lost to them. The idea that they are a new nation before God with a different law is something they don't understand. Like the children of Israel, there is need for us as believers to come to the mountain of the Lord and truly meet with him personally and receive the very law of God himself, written by the very finger of God into the tablets of our human hearts. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31-34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers. In the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor, saying, "Know the Lord," for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquities, and their sins I shall remember no more. God is saying there is coming a day when instead of writing his law externally on tablets of stone, he would write it internally upon the very tablets of our human hearts, because these hearts will be clean and holy in his sight. And having the very law of God written on our hearts will cause us to be a faithful people. For we will not need a person to say, "This is the way," and teach us the way of God. Because we will personally know him. Not through a technical head knowledge, but by knowing him through revelation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rather than keeping external rules and regulations, the personal true knowledge of God himself will already be in our hearts. And that knowledge of God will be instructing us in the way we should walk. Being instructed by God from within. In a heart that is holy and clean in his sight. Amen. Many people think this is what happens to them at salvation. But is it? When we get saved, we leave Egypt. But we need to get to the mountain of the Lord. If we are ever to receive the law of God written upon our hearts, engraved in the tablets of your heart. If a person has the law of God written on their hearts, you will know it. They don't need to be told what to do. They have a clear conscience. They have a soft, contrite heart. They don't confess their sins because they fear going to hell. They confess and repent of their sins because they fear grieving the heart of God. There is a big difference. Many people repent because they're scared to go to hell. But have you got to the point in your life where you mourn over sin? Because it has grieved the heart of God. This is an indication that you have the law of Christ written on your heart. Many people have left Egypt, but have not yet made it to the mountain of the Lord, where he meets with us in a very powerful, personal way. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, John says, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and not a lie, just as it has taught you, remain in him. The prophet Jeremiah said there was coming a day in the time of the new covenant when men will no longer need to teach one another, saying, know the Lord, because everyone will know him. This scripture is starting to be fulfilled in this present dispensation. By the anointing and baptism of the Holy Spirit. It will come to its fruition at the return of Christ. When everyone will know the Lord. Because we will see him face to face. So putting all these verses together, we see that God will write his law upon our hearts via an anointing and a baptism that we will receive from him, that will teach us all things we need to know in order to abide in him. So what is this anointing? Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from hence. Have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Have you come to the mountain of the Lord and learn to ascend the mountain of the Lord, to meet with God face to face, as it were, and receive the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, where God writes His very law upon your heart? Mount Sinai is all about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it is an essential part of the journey to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him nor know Him. But you will know Him, because He will abide with you and will be in you. Does the Holy Spirit abide in you and with you? A man will know it if he spends any time with you. I can walk with someone and tell if they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not, because that person has the law of God written on their hearts. God wishes to write or engrave His law upon the tablets of our hearts by an anointing of which is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Mosaic law was given on Mount Sinai, 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. So 50 days after coming out of Egypt, the children of Israel received the law. And 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection, was the day of Pentecost. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And the law of God was written in the hearts of those who received the Spirit on that day. So 50 days after the coming out of Egypt, the children of Israel received the law. 50 days after the death and resurrection of Christ, we receive the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
When Moses came down the mountain with the law of God in his hands, the day Israel received the law, were the people ready to receive the law? No. They were jumping around the golden calf. Moses smashed those tablets because they had broken his covenant. And he stood in the gate of the camp. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And the Levites rallied to him. And he instructed them to put a sword on their side. Go through the camp. And every man kill his brother, his friend, his neighbor. How many people fell that day? 3,000. When the children of Israel received the law of Moses, 3,000 people fell. When the people of God received the new revelation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when the church received the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit, into their hearts on Pentecost, how many came alive? 3,000. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
At Mount Sinai, the consuming fire was on the top of the mountain. And the people could not ascend that mountain. They could not touch that fire. They feared the fire. But on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind. And what appeared to be fire, instead of staying on the mountain, it came down and it ascended upon each one. Before they could not touch the fire, now the fire touched them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the fire of the Holy Spirit cut the very covenant of God in their hearts. Cut the very words of the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit, into their hearts. Amen. Have you received the baptism of fire and the baptism of the Spirit? Amen. We need to. Many people think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. They think, well, this person needs to fall on the floor and start speaking in tongues. And they say, that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe so, maybe not. I've known many people fall on the floor and get up exactly the same person. And I've known many preachers try and push people so it makes it look like people are falling on under the Spirit. Amen. If the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of tongues at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. But the more important characteristic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the receiving of the law of God written upon your very heart. Amen. Have you received the law of God written upon your heart? Someone may think, well, I don't know. Well, let's read in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Paul says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Have you experienced a pouring out of the love of God in your heart? Have you known this baptism of love? Many people talk about the baptism as a baptism of power. And in some ways it does empower the believer. But really it is the baptism of love.
Where we are
baptized into the love of Christ by the Holy Spirit that is poured out upon you. It is utterly key and most important that you get this baptism. That you receive this law of God written onto your very heart. Amen.
Amen.
The law of Christ. My brother was asking earlier, are we to keep the law of Moses, or what law are we supposed to keep? The Bible says very clearly, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We are not called to live under the letter of the law any longer. We have been freed from the law of sin and death by coming under a new covenant and a new law. The Bible says where there is a change in the priesthood, there is also a change in the law. Are we under the Aaronic priesthood today? Who is our great high priest?
Jesus Christ.
Who is in the order of Melchizedek. Where there is a change in the priesthood, there is also a change in the law. We are no longer under the Mosaic law. We are now under a different law. We are not lawless. We are under the law of Christ. The law of the Spirit. The royal law found in Scripture. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Have you been redeemed and delivered from the law of sin and death? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. We are now under the law of the Spirit, which is called the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is not a written law. It's a law written on your heart. And there are two commands. The first one says this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, or your soul, or your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang the whole law and the prophets. If you keep the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, in effect you will keep the Mosaic law. Not by trying to keep the letter of the law, but by walking according to the Spirit in your heart. Amen. There are different laws. We have become freed from external laws. It's a dangerous thing for a church starting to write down all the laws of their church. Because we can easily get into legalism and the letter of the law. Because according to the letter of the law, I may be a righteous man. Because I'm not in an adulterous relationship with another woman. But according to the law of Christ, if I'm even looking at a woman with lust, I'm committing adultery in my heart. Amen. The law of Christ, the law of the Spirit, is a higher standard. Amen. It's a higher standard than the law of Moses. Because one day we will stand before God, and He will judge us not only by our actions, but also by the thoughts and inclinations of our hearts. Amen. Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you shall in no way enter the kingdom. Amen. The Pharisees were very legalistically righteous. They could look down their big list of rules and say, yes, I've kept them. But Jesus said, inside you are full of wickedness. They did not have the love of Christ in their hearts. Amen. Jesus wants a new people under a new covenant, who are walking according to His new law, which is the law of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So that we become actually a law to ourselves. In Romans chapter 2, verses 13-16, Paul says, it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God. But the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things of the law. So when Gentiles who do not have the law do the things of the law. They become a law to themselves. In that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience is bearing witness. And their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Amen. How is your conscience this day? Is your conscience condemning you? If your conscience is condemning you, that is an indication to you you have sin in your life and you need to repent. You shouldn't need anyone over you to say, you need to repent, brother. Because your own heart should condemn you because of your conscience. Amen. Do you have the law of God in your heart? I would say most people in the church today do not have the law of God in their heart. Unfortunately. And the question is, how can I love the Lord my God with all my heart? How can I love the Lord God with all my mind, all my soul, all my strength? With a natural man, this is impossible. You cannot do it in your own strength. It doesn't just happen naturally speaking. God has to do a work deep within you, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you get filled with the very love of God Himself, and you suddenly get that revelation in your heart, God loves me. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Amen. It is impossible to love others or to love God Himself until your heart has been filled with the love of Christ first. That's why God wants you to come to His mountain. And it's relatively early in the journey. God does not want us wandering in the wilderness for many years. Always struggling with love and not being able to love others. He wants us to come to His mountain and learn how to ascend the mountain that we may be filled with the love of Christ. The love of Christ being poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Have you received such an anointing? Amen. Before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I used to be very cold emotionally as a person. I knew that I was supposed to love one other people. And I tried to do so. But it was very difficult because I didn't really know what love was. And so I struggled. I remember even preaching in church about how we need to love one another. But I didn't actually know how to love myself. Because the love of God had not yet entered into my heart via that baptism of love. I went through a very difficult situation in my life where I got under condemnation. I thought I had failed, I thought I had done the wrong thing. And Satan put a lot of condemnation on me. And I was walking with my head down, thinking I'm defeated as a Christian. I failed and let people down. And then I suddenly got a revelation that God actually loved me despite of who I was. I knew it in my mind, but I never really knew it in my heart. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I knew that scripture. I could quote it to you, but I didn't know it in my heart personally. And when I got that revelation, God opened up my heart, and suddenly I felt waves of the Holy Spirit pouring upon me. Waves of divine love pouring all over my soul. And I knew that I was loved by God. And from that moment on, I was able to start loving one another, loving others, because I experienced the very love of God Himself poured out into my heart. Have you received the Spirit? Have you received the love of God poured out into your heart? In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And he doesn't pray for their blessings, their prosperity, their signs and wonders. He says, I kneel before the Father from whom all heaven is named. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they may be able to comprehend with all the saints What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ? Have you got to the point in your life when you have comprehended and understood the love of the greatness of the love of Christ? And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. That is a great prayer to pray for your brothers and sisters. When you pray, what do you pray for? Usually we pray, God heal me, God give me deliverance, give me new career, give me money. But I don't read any prayers in the Bible like that. It's not a sin to pray for healing. But that should not make up most of our prayer life. If you read most of the prayers of the Apostle Paul in the Bible, he is praying for spiritual impartation. That they may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. That the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. That they may know and comprehend the love of Christ. That they may know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. You will never be filled with the fullness of God until you have experienced the filling of the love of Christ. Because when you get filled with the love of Christ, God writes His law of love on your heart. And from that moment on, on. You do not need people to tell you to love others. Because the very love of Christ in your heart will be directing you what to do. Amen. That's when God engraves or writes His law in your heart. And it is a holy love. Not a sensual love. Some men might say, well, I love that woman over there. Oh, I think I'll go and talk to her. That's not the law of which we're talking about, the type of love we're talking about. Amen. Everything God does is holy. Everything God gives is holy. And when He gives you His love, it is a holy, divine love that fills your heart. Have you had your heart filled with the love of Christ? God is no respecter of persons. What He did for the apostles back in the days of Pentecost, what He's done for me and some others, He can do for you also. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, male, female, whatever you are. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, if we love one another, God abides in us. And His love is perfected in us. Do you love your brothers and sisters in the church? Before you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you may get on with people in the church, but you may not like them. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine love starts to connect you with other brothers and sisters. And you start to realize you are connected to one body. You are a holy people, a royal priesthood. A chosen people, a royal priesthood. A holy nation. When the children of Israel came before Mount Sinai, they received the law, and that became the basis of them as a nation. They became formed into the holy nation of Israel. When we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and God's law gets written upon our hearts, we start to realize we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. We are no longer in competition with other people in the church. Because we are all one body. We are one people, one body. We have one purpose. To proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness. Amen. You get that sense of belonging when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is not waiting for you to become the perfect Christian. before he's going to love you. He's not waiting for you to become the perfect believer. He loved you when you were in the world. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you received that revelation in your heart? God does not love you according to your ability, what you can do. He loves you because he has decided to love you. Amen. Has the love of God been poured out in your heart? Through the Holy Spirit. Is this your testimony? In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, the prophet Isaiah says, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The former law went forth from Mount Sinai. But we are not called to go to Mount Sinai. We are called to Mount Zion. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18-25, "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, you have not come to a blazing fire and to darkness, gloom and whirlwind, you have not come to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, the sound of which those heard make no further word to be spoken to them. They could not bear the command, even if a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. You have not come to that mountain. So terrible was the sight. That Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. We have not been called to ascend that mountain. You have come to Mount Zion. To the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. To myriads of angels in festal gathering. To the church of the firstborn whose names are enrolled in heaven. To God the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. You have been called to Mount Zion. Will you ascend the hill of the Lord? Mount Zion was in Jerusalem. Mount Moriah was a part of Mount Zion. Where was Jesus crucified? Mount Moriah.
We got Moriah.
On Mount Zion.
Mount God Zion.
Have you learned to ascend the hill of the Lord? When Jesus was crucified, they led him out to Mount Golgotha, which was on Mount Moriah, Mount Zion. And there they crucified him. Have you come to Mount Zion and got a revelation of God's love for you through the cross of Jesus Christ? The cross of Jesus Christ is the greatest demonstration of the love of God ever shown. Because God took his one and only beloved Son and allowed him to be nailed to a wooden cross. And he poured out all of his righteous wrath and anger upon his own Son. In order that you might be forgiven. Greater love has no man, but that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you. Do you perceive that? Have you come up to the mountain of the Lord? Have you met with God in a very powerful, personal way? Have you knelt at the cross? And gazed at your suffering Savior and realized he did it for you. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. This is the mountain of the Lord. We have now access to the Father through the One Spirit. Have you ascended to the hill of the Lord? In verse 25 of Hebrews 12, the writer says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking." For if those did... Okay. We are much more privileged and therefore much more responsible in this day and age. The ancient Israelites did not come to Mount Zion. They were not even able to touch the mountain. Let alone to ascend the hill of the Lord. But you have been granted access by the Father. We live in the day of salvation. We have the cross of Jesus Christ. We can ascend Mount Zion and come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We are so much more privileged in this day and age. But with great privilege comes great responsibility. And if we refuse him who is speaking, what will happen to us? Something not very good. If they did not escape him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape him who warns from heaven? God is speaking to you this day. He is speaking from heaven. Come up to my mountain by the way of the cross. Receive my law. Meet with me face to face and be filled with the law of God. Be filled with the love of Christ by the Holy Spirit whom He has given. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray.